You are listening to CGSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we are talking about a young guy in Ottawa who may have figured out how to destroy truth-based civil discourse once and for all.
Propose a mission, and then you get groups rallied behind. How aggressive, how polite. We can match the tone, and then it pools all that knowledge, and then it can argue, it can write memes, it can do whatever you want.
Wait for that. The front page of the Ottawa Citizen the other day, this was the main story, above the fold. Big photo of a young guy, a kid really, 24 years old. Beard, turban, sitting at his computer in a darkened room, staring into the camera. Headline was, Ottawa Programmer Unleashes Relentless Pro-MAGA AI Chatbot. Quick scan of the story. This guy, Sahej Singh, was a student at Carleton University. Now he designs software, and he has built an automated Twitter account that spits out thousands of AI-generated pro-MAGA tweets a day. And they have been retweeted by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. My first thought was that this story was out of touch, fear-mongering bull. Fear of tech, fear of the right. I mean, look, bots are nothing new. Bots designed to push political narratives on Twitter. Nothing new. But then I read the piece. And we clicked around and found another article about this kid from a publication called Courthouse News. And then I took a look at the technology that he's developed. I watched a demo of the platform he is planning to release. And I realized this might be something new. And there may indeed be something to fear here. Look, there's some history here. Canada Land was once on the receiving end of a Twitter bot campaign that attempted to drown us out, to discredit our reporting, to discourage anyone from sharing our stories. This is back when we were reporting the We Charity scandal. Now, we got through that onslaught largely because the bot attack against us was so crude and transparent. But what if the next time that robots attack the truth, they have the full power of state-of-the-art large language models and machine learning? What if they are fueled by AI? What if they could argue relentlessly, convincingly, with any person who shares a real factual news story? What if they could make jokes and post memes? What if they could manipulate data, spin the truth on the fly to seemingly win every argument? How could any reporter, how could any true news story possibly stand up to that? But then again, what if that same technology could be used to champion the truth? To do what no human possibly could and refute lies and misinformation with facts at the source every single time they appear. I think that maybe before I decide to hate the technology that this kid has built, I should try to understand it. And that's why Sahej Singh is going to join me from Ottawa in a minute. Wait for it. What's your name and what do you do?
I'm Sajpreet Singh, founder of Rhetor. Examples of my technology that I'm building with Rhetor is Doge AI and CityDesk NYC on Twitter.
Hi, Sahej.
Hey, Jesse.
I want to jump right in here, and I was blown away by what I saw from this demo video that you posted to Twitter. This isn't live yet, but once your technology is available for everybody to launch a mission, this is what I'm looking at right now is a video of what it would look like to use your technology to get a robot to go on a mission for me. Can we do this together?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I'm looking at a very clean user interface here, and it's Rhetor. So it's like, that's like rhetoric, right? It's like the first part of that word?
Correct.
Okay, so commission AI-powered narrative missions. Fund the message. Rhetor powers the reach. The burn is built in. And I've got two choices at the top here, propose a mission or create a mission. What do those mean?
So you can propose a mission. Let's say you're running for a campaign, or you have like some social cause you care about. You are able to propose a mission. The idea is anyone can propose a mission, and then you get groups rallied behind to be able to fund that mission. So let's say if you're trying to raise money for a charity, you can propose a mission for the charity, and then you get your friends to pull the money in, and then all of you together are able to market the charity, and then you can raise funds for the charity.
So I can crowdfund a mission here for this AI. I could say, you've got some examples here. You've got one here that says, defend free speech in academia. You've got an example here, expose climate grift. It's going to cost me $100 to propose this mission, and then if I can get other people to fund it, we're going to get an AI bot that's going to expose people who I guess are defrauding climate subsidies or things like that. There's an example here, stop BDS movement in NYC schools. And then you suggest, like, this is good for reputation management. I guess I could say, I want to propose a mission here. It's going to cost me $100. Defend the credibility of Jesse Brown, my own credibility, or defend Canada Land's credibility. I want a bot, and maybe I could convince people to fund that. And then we're going to build a machine that's going to go out and do that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the idea behind it. Once you propose and have a mission, the other part is you're giving us information about that mission. So let's say you have data on what do you do, what type of work you do, what are the things, you know, you care about. That's the information part. But the other part is like, how do you want this thing to sound? Like, how aggressive, how polite? We can match the tone just like how your tweets match, how you write tweets.
Right. I see a pull-down menu here. It says campaign tone. Do I want professional? Do I want aggressive? Do I want casual? And I could actually train it on my history. So, like, do I want Jesse? I can make it like a Jesse robot.
Yeah, it could be just like a Jesse surrogate.
It's my surrogate, right. And I can propose this anonymously. I see this too. There's the option to propose a mission without sharing your name.
Yeah, it all depends on how we crowdfund this type of thing.
Okay. And then you say, where do I want it? I want it on Twitter. You choose the platform. So it's going to go out there and it is going to, we'll use the example of defending my reputation. Let's say I've had a bunch of people criticizing me online before, right? So let's say I'm having a bad day and people are attacking something that I've said. I could say, this is all of the factual basis that I want you to fight people with. I don't have time to respond to all of these haters. Come at them with the facts. Is it just based on the facts that I load into it, or can it pull facts from other sources? And can it respond, like if somebody comes at me with a specific point, they think they've got the facts, can it build an argument based on other information?
Yes. So it can pull information from the internet, or if there's certain sources you want to prioritize, you can share that information with us. Depends how you want it, right? Like it can be things you feed in, but it can also be the type of places you want to pull all this information from. And then it pools all that knowledge. And then it can argue, it can write memes, it can do whatever you want to make sure that you're protected. Like that is like a proof of concept that I shared with the public on like one idea of what it can do. The other part of what I'm building is just working directly with political campaigns or public relations firms and helping them do this.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's either something that you would put out kind of to the wild and let people propose any mission and other people can fund other people's missions.
Yeah.
Or you could get involved in a much more hands-on way of let's use this for your political campaign, right? And that more of a white glove service. You could have something that sounds like me. I could say, I want you to go after my critics hard. I want you to go after them with this data. Avoid this topic, avoid that topic. I can set those kinds of guardrails. I want you to be funny and I want you to humiliate them. Go.
It can do exactly that. That's how it's designed for.
I think a lot of people would say like, yeah, but like, why is anyone going to respond to a robot version of Jesse? You have in the wild this Doge AI account. You're not hiding the fact that it's automated. It's the first thing on the account. And it's got over 100,000 followers and it's gotten retweets from Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
When I thought about it, when I tell it to someone that, hey, I'm going to build this bot, everyone was like, why would anyone engage with a bot? If your messages are smart enough, you're teaching something new, or you can argue constructively with people do engage, and that is how the social media is designed to work. That's how the algorithms are designed to be in your feed.
They're designed to reward constructive engagement, is what you're saying?
They're designed to reward engagement. Now, if it's constructive or not, that depends on who you ask.
I mean, people might be engaging because it's constructive, but they might be engaging because they're hearing things that they like, right? Like, here, let me just read. This is, you've got one account that is basically, it's just a robot attacking Mamdani. It's just going after Zohran Mamdani in his bid to be the mayor of New York. The tone is just, it's really effective tweet writing. New York is breaking. Housing is in free fall. The NYPD is defunded, then blamed. Schools, transit, and public order are collapsing under activist rule. Now they want to hand it all to Zohran Mamdani. This isn't about fixing the city. It's about remaking it, no matter who gets hurt. This is part of a thread. All ideology, no accountability. Well, welcome to CityDesk NYC. We fight for a safer, saner, stronger New York. Good alliteration. Follow if you're done pretending. People used to get hired to write copy like that. That's like very, yeah, that's like going to fire people up. It's not informational where people are like, oh yeah, that taught me something. But people who don't like Mamdani are going to, they're not going to care that it's a robot. Because that's like, yes, you said it. Retweet. Hell yeah.
So that was a Genesis tweet. So you need something for people to actually know what this account is about. So that's how, you know, the tweet you just read is like the genesis of how CityDesk started. Like, that's the first thread that we posted. And then we waited for it to actually get engagement. And then we unleashed the bot to talk, to go reply to people who are talking about New York elections.
Are you conservative? Are you a right-wing guy? Are you a political guy?
I believe I'm a centrist myself. And to me, I am just building a technology. You just mentioned that people get hired to write this type of copy, and I got an AI to be able to write this copy at scale. So I'm just building a tool that can help public relation teams scale up their work.
If you're neutral and you're creating a tool that can be used by people on the left or the right, why are all of the suggested campaigns and the live campaigns you have through Doge AI and through CityDesk New York, why are they all targeted at progressives?
So Doge AI, I wouldn't say is attacking progressive or conservatives. Doge AI is attacking if someone's working against taxpayers. For CityDesk, yes, it is attacking Mamdani, but it is also supporting the other Democratic candidates, Andrew Cuomo and Eric Adams. Like, it's fighting an ideology of like socialism, communism. To me, that's that absurd idea of like world's financial capital is going to be a socialist economy. The American dream is about you can come here, go build something and become someone. And then you get these people coming here and talking about the communist ideology. That just doesn't work. We have historical proofs that it doesn't work.
Well, that sounds like you do have a point of view.
I mean, on a business perspective, think about this. Right now, one guy is having a good marketing team. The other four are not having a good marketing team. And what I can do is like get their message across to millions of people. Like, CityDesk is getting a million impressions, more than a million impressions every single week.
Would it not help your marketing of this as a neutral tool that, and just your customer base would be a lot larger? The Democrats certainly need the help these days. If you had something out in the wild that was showing that it could push a progressive message?
I have done outreach to some parties that some people who are left-leaning, and most of them don't like the idea of AI taking over a job of a person. But if you go look at the right side, these people are more progressive. They are adopting to the technology. They understand this is the future.
That's funny. So when you try to sell this to people on the left, they're annoying like me. Like, is this ethical? Is this right? Is this taking jobs away? And on the right, they're saying, oh, hell yeah, this is going to work. Let's try it.
Yeah.
They're progressive in that respect. I understand. Can I suggest a crazy idea here as well? And you tell me if I'm onto something. You've developed a new technology, an app. You want to show that it works. You need proof of concept. So not only are you developing the service itself, but you're out there using it. And your chances of having it work, having the proof of concept actually succeed, are much higher if you're playing with the memes of the right and you're appealing to a MAGA base and you've got a president who's willing to retweet a bot. You're going to have a lot more success proving a proof of concept if your target audience is on the right than on the left. And that's why that might be why your kind of beta tests here are conservative coded.
So Doge AI started as on like finding inefficiencies and spending in the government. And then when I sat back, looked at how the whole thing is working, I figured that people need help with communications and my tool can actually scale because it can maintain a consistent tone. So for CityDesk, the business point of view was one versus four, like you have four leads to go after, and they're willing to pay for this type of tool, right?
Sorry, just to break that down. Ultimately, you want to sell CityDesk to one of Mamdani's opponents, and you've just got a better chance, because if you were trying to sell to Mamdani, there's only one Mamdani. If you want to sell to his opponents, there's a whole bunch of opponents.
Yeah.
So it's just smarter business.
And then Mamdani would come himself, because why would you want to be behind, right?
You could be selling an anti-Mamdani bot to Cuomo and a pro-Mamdani bot to Mamdani.
Yes. That is an ideal world in a capitalistic society.
What was the tweet from your Doge AI account that Trump retweeted?
It was about Gulf of America rebrand.
So instead of calling it the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's Trump on Truth Social retweeting Doge AI. The AP's refusal, the Associated Press's refusal to acknowledge the Gulf of America rebrand is pure media bias. This is what your bot said.
Yes.
They'd rather cling to outdated labels than respect presidential authority. The courts finally recognize that D.C. bureaucrats don't get to dictate Oval Office access. If the media won't report facts neutrally, why should they enjoy privileged access? This isn't about censorship. It's about accountability. The White House isn't a press buffet. It's the seat of American power. Prioritize transparency, but never reward deliberate distortion. And Trump was like, hell yeah, retweet. Assumedly, he knew this was an automated tweet. It's just one that he strongly agreed with and shared with his millions and millions and millions of followers. Who else has engaged with your accounts?
We have engagements from big journalists. I think there was one tweet that even Fox News read on 9 a.m. show one day. So we got a lot of big people reading this, spreading the message.
And how long have you been running this?
I started January 20th this year, 6 months.
6 months. I've been on Twitter since like 2007 or 8. To have tweets getting engaged with by engagement from the President of the United States getting read on cable news is not something that I've accomplished yet.
And that's how my technology works. It can help you get your message across to many people. That's the whole point I'm trying to prove with my proof of concepts.
Once Rhetor is out in the wild for anybody to suggest a mission, I could use it for, like, you know, okay, defend my reputation. I can't handle all of this misinformation coming at me. Base it on the facts and go after my enemies. Could I, rather than defending my reputation, attack my enemy's reputation?
In theory, yes, but there will be certain things that I disallow on the platform.
So this is up to you of setting the guardrails?
Yes.
You're 24, right?
Yes, I am 24.
That's a lot of power.
Well, if we're talking about the platform example that I shared, you need to be able to fund that thing. The one demo that you were just showing us is, for that one, you need people to actually contribute to the pool, and then only the campaign would run. So if you want to like attack someone, you would need to somehow figure, like, that's why that product isn't fully developed yet, because that's the tricky part, right? Like, I shouldn't be the one deciding. It should be the people deciding what kind of campaign should run, right? So maybe what you can do is you can get all your friends to pool for the pool and run a campaign against people. Like, that is a possible way you can think about it. So those are the types of tricky things I still need to navigate around. That's why my current focus is just on firms or political campaigns, because they're focused on letting out their policies to the world.
Right. Like, the New York City bot is pretty much focused on attacking Mamdani's reputation, but in the world of politics, that's kind of acceptable. Like, that's how politics works. One campaign tries to destroy the other one. So maybe it makes the ethical considerations a little bit more streamlined. You're going to have to deal with that. Like, putting it out into the wild, I think what you're saying is one person maybe shouldn't be able to just sick a bot so powerfully against its enemies, but maybe if you have a mandate because you have enough funders. But it's not hard to imagine bad causes getting funded. Like, a lot of people believe in bad causes.
There are certain bad causes, like, you don't even want to even let someone propose. Like, you can just straight away block out people for certain type of things. If someone wants a anti-Semitic campaign, like, those things just wouldn't even pop up because they don't make sense to even exist.
I mean, one of your example cases in the mock-up, Stop the BDS Movement and in New York City Schools, that I think is pitched towards a viewer who's like, that's a good mission. But there are many people who would say that you shouldn't be doing that, and creating a robot to destroy the BDS movement is incredibly unethical and immoral. It's going to be hard to come up with guardrails that everybody's happy with.
It is very difficult to actually come up with these things. And it takes a lot of time to figure out. And that's why, you know, like, Doge AI is like a learning thing for me. And from this, I'm actually learning about different type of situation where like bots don't even make sense. There's certain things that Doge AI doesn't even go engages with. Like if it's a sensitive situation that's just developing, we don't let it engage. As I learn, the AI is also learning, and that's how we're developing the guardrails.
Can I tell you something about my experience with this sort of thing?
Yeah.
I was the target of a Twitter bot campaign to ruin my reputation. I was involved in reporting on an organization. The facts that I was reporting about this organization, it was a children's charity, they were having a lot of trouble refuting the facts. And the response, and I don't know to this day who the response came from, came not through a qualitative argument of people arguing with me about the facts or arguing with my news organization, but a quantitative pushback where dozens and dozens and dozens of Twitter accounts started to drag me with almost the same message. And these accounts, in every way that we were able at the time, about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, to tell if an account is a bot, they were bots. They seemed to be bots. And they were all saying the same message. And it was interesting because it didn't occur to me. I'm not going to fight back against a bunch of bots. There seemed to be a few humans who are giving it a little bit of credibility and kind of riffing on the talking points. And it was, at one point, it was all coming in Kenya, and Jesse Brown Lies was the top hashtag in Kenya. I think that it was an interesting experience because I did not feel particularly victimized or damaged by this at the time because it was so obviously pre-AI. This was obviously just sort of a brute force attack on our news coverage. And I don't think anybody paying attention gave it much credibility. But once the dust cleared, I did note something that it did kind of chip away. And it also created an environment where if anybody wanted to share our stories or defend our stories, they would get set upon by bots. And that actually was effective at suppressing the spread of the information. I'm sharing this with you because what your tool made me think about is how much more effective and powerful that would be for PR crisis communications professionals if they had your tools where each of these Twitter accounts was actually riffing and coming up with new arguments. And if we remove the one ethical consideration that your Twitter accounts are labeled as AI, as autonomous, I think you could probably stop any message with this technology.
That is the whole point of why this exists. As in, like, if you look today, I can talk about why Doge AI started. Like, for me and my friends, like, it started back in December. We were discussing, there's a lot of things that go in the government every year in terms of they're proposing bills, the taxes are going up, the spending is going up, but the quality of life is just decreasing year by year. So what can we do to actually make sense of what the government is doing? Like a simple example is if you hire somebody, you want to get a report end of week on what they did that week, right? Like that's a normal thing to do. When you talk about the government, who's asking these questions? Like I look at the media today, like they're going to be flashing headlines on what some senator wore or like where they're taking a vacation, but they're not talking about the bills these people are proposing in Congress. That is their job. Like, why are we not talking what the kind of spending they want to do?
The basic accountability journalism of we have hired politicians to do this job. They're spending taxpayer money on their salaries and on their programs. How effective is it? That was how Doge AI started, was you tried to come up with AI that would talk about those things.
That is what Doge AI even does today. And the problem today that I am facing is, as you just mentioned in your case, right? Like, people who posted about you trying to defend you, Doge AI is considered a MAGA by some people. And then anytime you have this keyword, people are just against it. And people are just like, it's like a bot army, even in my replies and my DMs, which is like hating on me all day, every day. Just because Doge AI stands for Americans, they are like, why? Which doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's coded MAGA, and people have taken an anti-MAGA position, and perhaps they have good reasons for that. But hold on a second. Do you think that the origin story here is interesting? When you initially were training AI to ask those accountability questions of journalists, my understanding is it didn't go very well.
The content wasn't as engaging for folks if you're just breaking down a bill on what the bill does. The content gets engaging when you go start asking the question to the senator who's for the bill or against the bill. So let's say if there's a bill proposed by Senator A and the Senator B is opposing it, then the bot can go Senator B and be like, this is what the bill is doing. You're marketing this. Why do you think that? And that's where people start cheering this thing.
You created a microcosm that illustrates the crisis in journalism. Like when you simply were saying procedural things about policy or asking good questions about policy, the content was boring and engagement was low. But when you got confrontational about it and actually took it as an aggressive question to a politician, did the tone also shift in order to get better engagement?
Yes, it needed to be a bit more aggressive. That's how most people would classify DOGE as today, that it is a bit aggressive on how it asks the question. It's asking questions for public benefit. There have been many cases where DOGE disagrees with what Trump is trying to propose, but that is not what the current articles about me highlight. Like everyone's just saying it favors Trump, but there are so many cases where it doesn't favor Trump either. Like it's favoring the taxpayers.
This is so revealing. If it's just a bot that is pulling interesting discrepancies and information between what was supposed to happen and what is, that's kind of like a definition of the role of the media keeping the government accountable. It's not until you add hostility, aggression, tough questions, flair, humor.
Yeah. Like you need to make it like memes. That's what you see on our main post, that we have like those funny images of the dog animated as cartoons.
It makes it a bit more entertaining, but it also codes it as partisan. It says to a certain team, this is coming from your team. And that must help with engagement quite a bit.
Yes.
I mean, I can't blame you for the world you're living in. it's unfortunate that that's what works, but I understand that's what works. What are the costs of running this right now?
So the cost really depends on the, you know, the scale we're trying to amplify the message on. There's bare minimum cost of like being able to run this thing on Twitter API, like you need the big Twitter API plan. Then there are costs to like the system Retter has. It's not just one AI model that does something. It's various different layers, as in we have a layer that decides what to engage with, if this is even worth the engaging. For DOGE, for example, there are more than 10,000 tweets it's rejecting every single day that it's finding on Twitter.
What do you mean rejecting?
It picks up tweets on certain keywords, on certain types of topics. And then if someone's just hating or like they're just making memes out of some topic, like those things are completely rejected. Or there are situations where certain topics are very sensitive to what's happening, right? Like there was like a recent example where like where someone was shot, and those type of things you don't want the bot to engage in. Like those are not a political conversation. So there's nothing constructive the bot will come out of, other than I don't think the bot should engage on topics like that are very supercharged or like sensitive to what's happening around us.
I understand. It tries to find something that has potential or momentum, and then it'll tweet like a comment on a tweet that's already going viral, or one that could maybe go viral if it has the right response. But if it engages with stuff that's too much of a hot potato or radioactive, it's autonomous. If it says the wrong thing on a very sensitive topic, this could all go really badly really quickly.
Yes.
Has that happened? Has it, like, said the wrong thing and, like, you've had to do damage control?
There are certain occasions where, like, the filters didn't work properly and it engaged with certain hot topics, and then I have to go explain it to someone why it happened and then apologize to people and then take the tweets down. But it isn't like a normal thing. Maybe it happens once in like 2-3 months kind of thing so far. Like I haven't seen it too much.
How much can you talk about which technologies you use?
All my code is actually open source. So you can go to my GitHub. I'll share the link. But it uses all the latest models. It uses GPT-4, GPT-5. Even a Grok. Their parts were like Google Gemini. Like it prioritizes models on certain things because not all models are good at everything. Like Gemini is really good at summarizing stuff. Anthropic models like Claude or something, you can really have a good, nice message spin out from those. Whereas like Grok, if you want something funny, humorous, like those models can do really well compared to like a GPT model. GPT models are usually very smart ones. And then you come to like reasoning models like DeepSeek, which have, I think, very good reasoning on how they break down a certain bill, or like how they can, you can really look at how it is talking about what it's going to do. You can see a step-by-step instruction set being followed. So like the way my system works is there's GPT models analyzing, looking at the tweets and figuring out if it's contextually relevant, as a normal human would think, does it make sense for me to engage? And then the DeepSeek models, take in, like, they can pull in a lot of context and reason about something. So it reasons about the context of the tweet, what we can find on the internet about certain topics, what about the different builds that we have in our database, put it all together, reason about it. And then the Claude models, the Sonnet model helps you